From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Gunrunner reaching for the wire, collected alongside, and then comes West Coast and War Story. But Gunrunner's on top of the world! He wins the Breeders' Cup Classic!
Arrogator's getting going late now. Collected is in front. Arrogate closing on the outside. It's a Bob Baffert 1-2, but Collected going to win it. Collected and Martin Garcia won the Pacific Classic.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
But Arrogate swoops up on the outside. America's King Croesus of horse racing went to the front. 200 meters left to go. Arrogate has drawn away from Gunrunner.
Always Dreaming with a 2.5 length lead at 16th to go. Looking at Lee is second. Then comes Battle of Midway, Classic Empire. They're coming to the line, and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Barron and Pontiff. That's Mike Penna and Jude Feld. We are coming to you once again from Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida. A rain-soaked Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida. Very un-sunshine state, like JT. Not living up to the moniker here this morning.
It sounds like Alex Fanti was writing your intro.
Yeah, let me tell you something, my friend. It is overcast now, overcast, kind of light gray skies. They were much darker about a half hour ago as we were getting out to the racetrack here, and the rain was falling quite heavily. Right now it is not raining, and the forecast throughout the afternoon is calling for hit-or-miss showers, about a 30% chance. And then later into the afternoon, when we start getting closer to the feature race and all five stakes races on the program today, you start getting into a little greater rain chance. So an opportunity for handicappers to maybe look at a wet track pedigree or a horse that might like a softer turf course. We might have that here today.
Yeah, if we have any races on the grass, yeah. It's going to depend. There's going to probably be a lot of scratches, and which is unfortunate. I really don't like it when it rains on big days. I like everybody to come out to the track and have a good time, and this will keep some people home. It'll also, you know, cast a shadow on the results of the Holy Bull. We don't like to see too many off tracks. Even though the Kentucky Derby is often run on an off track, you still like to have a line on these horses going into, you know, the last few preps. So it's interesting. The clouds are going to be hanging all day. It's going to be like this most of the day.
Well, good point, too, you bring up with an off-track and how it might affect people's opinion of the Holy Bull winner here this afternoon. Of course, the Holy Bull, the first major stepping stone to the Kentucky Derby here in South Florida. It will be followed by the Fountain of Youth Stakes, which comes up at the beginning of March, and then the Florida Derby at the end of March. 91 days, 8 hours, 52 minutes, and 38 seconds away from the Run for the Roses. Our poll question for today, and this comes back to your point that you just made about the wet track. If a horse wins a Derby prep on a wet track, do you A, upgrade the win, B, downgrade the win, or C, take the approach that it doesn't matter? How about for you?
I would say probably downgrade the win unless, like I say, the Derby's running an off track, then you may lean towards that horse.
So. But at least in the immediate, right now, after the race today,
I take a wait-and-see approach.
Yep. You get all choked up when you come on the air with me, don't you?
I was fine until we came on the air. It was just like our rent-a-car was fine until we hit the open button and it didn't work. I don't know. This is not your typical Gulfstream day. I'm out of my element.
Yeah, how about that? I got to climb through the back door of our SUV to unlock out. That was kind of fun.
Yeah, it was impressive.
Yeah.
You
didn't know the Baron was so flexible.
You are very maneuverable, I will say.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that car thing, the remote. It's not
working, but
car.
Michelle found the key.
Oh, no, so it works. I locked it. It works fine now.
It works fine now?
It just wanted us to stand in the rain for a little while this morning.
Getting soaked. It looked like the Three Stooges out there, really. What's wrong with these people? Why are they running around? Why is this guy crouching into his car, right? And then away we went.
Why is this guy climbing through the back over our radio equipment? It was quite an adventure. And heck, we've only been here for, less than 24 hours now. But excited for this afternoon's race. Our poll questions I just mentioned, you can weigh in at HRRN on Twitter. If a horse wins a Derby prep on a wet track, do you A, upgrade his win, or her win, for that matter, B, downgrade the win, or C, you take the approach that it just doesn't matter? Those are the three choices, and we want to hear from you. We'll read those responses throughout the program at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. So the feature race is the Grade 2 Holy Bull, and it's going to be run at a mile and a 16th, and it'll be run on the main track, probably a wet main track, more than likely, but not necessarily. If we don't get any more rain, maybe that track dries out enough and they open it up and we do have a fast track. But that's a race that, of course, is named in honor of 1994 Florida Derby winner and Horse of the Year Holy Bull, and it features a pretty good group. 11 horses were entered this past Wednesday, Jude. I don't think all 11 are going to go. We may end up with a field of 8 or 9, but it's a really contentious group, and all eyes are going to be on Enticed from the barn of Kieran McLaughlin, a winner of the Kentucky Jockey Club last time out at Churchill Downs in November. He makes his 3-year-old debut this afternoon, and nobody has been better in this race in recent years than Kieran McLaughlin. He's won it 3 times overall. He's tied with Nick Zito for most wins in the Holy Bull. A win today by Enticed, the morning line favorite, and he'll stay alone atop that list.
Yeah, he's just had a sensational run the last couple of years, and I want to give the Gulfstream Park Racing Department credit because, it's your favorite horse, Holy Bull, and it's your birthday, and they coincided the two just for you. And I think that's really special, and hats off to them for thinking of that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I was working with Gulfstream on that last year. I said, look, here's the deal.
Okay, Sparky.
If you're going to run the Holy Bull, it has to be on this particular day.
That's right.
Yeah, look, what do you think of Enticed? A deserved morning line favorite in here?
Oh, I think so. I mean, he's a very accomplished horse. He comes from a good barn who's had success in this race. I mean, you like that. Trainers have a tendency to go back to the preps and the races they've been successful with in the past, and he's one race shy of a perfect record. He broke his maiden in the mud, so that's a plus for him, right? That was going 6 furlongs at Saratoga. He won the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes. That's a Grade 2. That's a plus for him. The race he got beat was the Champagne. That's a one-turn mile race. Maybe not his best distance. He's by Medaglia d'Oro out of a mineshaft. Mary certainly bred to get the classic distance. So he's a horse that we must keep an eye on moving forward. And he gets a jockey switch to Joel Rosario today.
How about that? Junior Alvarado riding for Todd Pletcher, his usual jockey, Junior Alvarado, riding Colton, Mississippi for Todd Pletcher in the Withers, not riding here for Kieran, which is a little unusual, I thought.
It's kind of odd, actually.
Yeah.
But
good thing is we can ask Kieran about it in about 6 or 7 minutes from right now.
Yeah.
He's going to join us here on the show.
We'll just hold off discussing it till we talk to him. But, he beat a nice horse, too, in Tis Mischief, who's also running in this race, and he's been improving and training well. Now, he hasn't showed a lot of speed lately, but his works have been eye-popping. Since he ran November 25th, he's had some very sharp workouts. Now, that's not to say that he wasn't working well before, but it looks to me like he's kind of moved up a little bit. So
his Mischief.
Yeah, it's an interesting matchup. I'm maybe a little prejudiced because I've made a little bet on Tis Mischief at 40-1 in the first future pool.
Ooh.
So I would like to have him run in the Kentucky Derby at 40-1 because I think if he continues to improve, he's going to be a lot less than that.
Tis Mischief is one of 4 horses entered in today's Holy Bull for trainer Dale Romans. Now, Dale is going to be with us right around 8:35 Eastern time as well. He'll either be here by phone or he will be here in person with us. Just sent me a text. He said, hey, I'm trying to make it over to you guys. If I don't get there, just call me. So either way, Dale will be with us at 8:35. He will follow trainer Kieran McLaughlin. So we kicking off with two of the top trainers talking about their top Derby prospects on the road right now. And again, very, very early. These horses just getting started. Looking forward to those visits in the first half of the show. Second half of the program kicks off with Jim Lawson, who is the CEO of Woodbine Entertainment. That should be a really, really fun visit. A lot of great things happening at Woodbine. They're coming off of a tremendous 2017 and looking ahead to bigger and better things in 2018. Mike Nyman will be with us, Director of Marketing here at Gulfstream. Always fun to visit with him. He'll be with us around 9:25 Eastern, and then we'll wrap it all up with a visit from Eddie Olczyk, former NHL star and NHL and NBC broadcaster. Eddie was here last weekend for the Pegasus World Cup, did a little bit of NBC work on their broadcast, but more importantly, took down the top prize in the Pegasus World Cup betting challenge, and he will now be heading to Las Vegas for the National Handicapping Championship and for the BCBC later this year. So well done, Eddie Olczyk.
Yeah, that was fantastic. You know, Eddie had some health issues. He was not working for a while. He obviously came back in great shape and in good form. He's a tremendous handicapper. He loves the game, and it's really cool that he won. I think it's super, just fantastic, and he's got those two other tournaments he has to play in, so he may have found another new career. The guy is multi-talented, and he's one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet.
Yeah, so looking forward to that visit at the end of the show. So a lot of things to get to here this morning. Don't forget to weigh in on our poll question at HRRN on our Twitter page and Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. We're back to visit with Kieran McLaughlin next, live from Gulfstream. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Have you been looking for high-quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5.
Malibu Moon, APND's leading sire. Four Grade 1 winners in 2017. $11 million in earnings, his best year to date.
Gormley takes the lead, and Gormley wins the San Anita Derby.
Ransom the Moon, the leader. Ransom the Moon going to take the Bing Crosby.
Moonshine Memories too strong in the run home. She'll win it by three lengths.
Heavenly Love in an absolute romp here.
Malibu Moon, standing at Spindrift Farm.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, can you explain how the claims process works? Knock on wood, I haven't experienced a claim recently and hope I never will, but what happens?
Well, Mike, after we are notified by the insured of an accident or event, we will submit a claim report to the company, giving basic details of the claim. A claims representative will then contact the insured to walk them through the claim settlement process. Most claims are settled promptly, efficiently, and to the complete satisfaction of the insured.
Well, that sounds fair.
Basically, the insured is buying an insurance policy, which is a promise to pay in the event of a covered claim. It also provides peace of mind absent of a claim. That's the way it works.
Thanks, Joe. For all your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
This is Jockey Rajiv Maharaj, and I love the Horse Racing Radio Network, the best show on the planet.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Cairo Prince and Luis Saez have taken the lead, and they'll turn for home in front by two. Almost Famous is next. Financial Mogul, Intense Holiday. Conquest Titan running a big one on the far outside. But Cairo Prince has run away. Cairo Prince and Luis Saez with an emphatic win in the Holy Bull.
Junior Alvarado just took a peek back, and he's getting away now from Greenpoint Crusader. The lead is up to 2.5 lengths. And then it's Fellowship and Conquest Big E. And now Mohe Man just takes off. Mohe Man absolutely dazzling in the Holy Bull as he remains undefeated.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld. The rain has returned to Gulfstream Park here in South Florida as we get ready for the Grade 2 Holy Bull this afternoon. Larry Colmus had the call of those Holy Bull victories by Cairo Prince and Mohaman. They came in 2014 and 2016, respectively. Those were two of the three victories for trainer Kieran McLaughlin in this race. As we told you earlier, he is tied with Hall of Famer Nick Zito with three victories in the Holy Bull, most by any trainer. He sends out the morning line favorite Enticed in this afternoon's race, who will have a new rider in Joel Rosario replacing Junior Alvarado. And again, if you are just tuning in, the rain falling lightly here at Gulfstream Park right now. It rained much heavier about 45 minutes to an hour ago. The main track has been sealed, so doing their best to keep as much moisture out of that track as possible. But if the rain continues throughout the day, and again, the forecast calling for off and on 30% chance of showers throughout much of the day, we could be looking at a wet racetrack for the Holy Bull this afternoon. Well, Kieran is with us now, and Kieran, welcome to the program, my friend. Happy to have you on board.
Thanks for having me.
A bit of a wet one here at Gulfstream. Any concerns with the off-track going into this year's Holy Bull?
Yes, I would prefer it not to be wet, but he did break his maiden on a wet track, so we know he can handle it. You just like to see a fast track, and maybe it'll dry out and be sunny later. And be fast, but he should handle it okay.
Well, you know, you've done a great job with this horse. He's really come around at the right time. He seems to be at the top of his game for this race. Where does he fit in the overall picture of the other Derby contenders that you've trained over the years?
It's hard to compare looking back. You know, one of my favorites was Cairo Prince. I thought we had a big chance for the Kentucky Derby with him, and we didn't get there. So it's hard to compare, really. But both of these horses we have in today, Avery Island in New York, and Enticed, are big, strong colts doing well. And we're hopeful that one of them is this year's big horse.
You know, Kieran, not only have you won the Holy Bull on three different occasions, you saddled the winner of the Withers three times as well. What is it about these particular prep races, these early season preps, that just seem to fit your program and your horses?
That's a good question. I'm hopeful that they are, you know, are launching to the bigger races in the spring, and it's just they're here. The races are here at this time, and the horses have run well, and we're lucky to have nice two-year-olds turning three. And I was 10 years in Dubai, so I didn't have two-year-olds for those 10 years, but we have done well in the preps, and we hope that we can keep going this year with both of these colts and have some luck, you know, first Saturday in May and beyond.
You know, it's highly reported that Sheikh Mohammed would love to win the Kentucky Derby. Of course, who wouldn't? But it's like a goal for him, a bucket list thing. How cool would it be for you, after having spent time in Dubai and all of that, to win the Kentucky Derby for Sheikh Mohammed?
Yeah, it would be great. It would be fabulous. Going there and winning the World Cup with Imbasor for Sheikh Hamdan, his brother Shadwell, was fabulous. And this would be right there with it. And he deserves to win it at some point in his life, and I'm the trainer that wins it with him.
Kieran McLaughlin with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, the Equine Forum, live from Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida. Kieran, let's take both horses individually that you're going to send out today. Enticed in the Holy Bull, Avery Island in the Withers. What development are you seeing in each of them from their two-year-old campaign to where you see them now on February 3rd?
Both of them are doing really well, no issues. Avery Island has improved in his training in the mornings. We feel like he's improved and training very well. Enticed has been no negative. He's training very well also. Everything's gone right. So they're both ready for top performances today. Avery Island went to New York because he won the Nashua on that track and was second in the Remsen, and the mile and eighth suits him, you know, also. And then Entice is a big, strong colt that he wants a mile and an eighth or better all too, but today's a mile and 16th. And we're happy we drew inside because it's a very short run into the first turn here at Gulfstream, mile and 16th. So we should save some ground. Both of them will be forwardly placed in New York. It's six-horse field. We might be on the lead up there or very close. And Entice, if he breaks well in the Holy Bull, we hope to be stalking and pretty close.
You know, Kieran, the months between their two-year-old campaign and leading into the three-year-old season can really tell you a lot about a horse, not only physically but mentally too. When you're looking at these young horses, are you more concerned about the physical development to this point or the way they're handling things mentally?
Mostly mentally, because they're both big, strong, beautiful colts. I was surprised Entice won his first start because we thought he wanted longer and would need, you know, a mile or more, but he broke his maiden going six at Saratoga on a wet track. But he was just that talented. But mostly him being out of it's tricky. She was difficult mentally. So we try and worry more about him mentally than physically because they're both of them are big, strong colts that have great strides and want the distance.
It's been my experience that when you give a two-year-old a little rest, you know, several weeks, and then you bring him back, they run lights out. And he's been off since November the 25th, so that's got to help him mentally as well as physically, just to not have to be in the grind so hard for an extended period of time.
Yes, we were trying to be a little more conservative. We chose Churchill instead of the Breeders' Cup, and hopefully it pays off for us going forward. And we don't know what our next race will be, but we've been pointing for this since November 25th, and we hope that he wins today, and then we'll look at where we go from here.
Kieran, when I opened my BristNet past performances here and started looking through, I noticed that Junior Alvarado, who had been aboard Enticed in each of his three career starts, is not here. He's actually riding in the Withers, but he's not riding Avery Island. He'll be riding for Todd up in the Withers aboard Colt and Mississippi. Talk about the decision there. I don't know if it was your decision, Junior's decision, but talk about how that jockey change came about.
Yes, you know, Junior's riding in New York, so Joel's here and has had past experiences in the Derby, winning the Derby, and he rode Frosted for us, and he worked Enticed, and it was just a decision by the team to have Joel ride him, and Junior didn't do anything wrong, but it just happened this way that we switched to Joel and hoped for the best.
Kieran McLaughlin, our special guest here on the Equine Forum, live from Gulfstream Park, and the leaf blowers going below us. You can probably hear those in the background, by the way, in the walking ring as we are positioned just above the walking ring here this morning. We'll bring you our coverage exclusively this afternoon on the network beginning at 4:30 Eastern time with all that coverage of the Holy Bull. Kieran, you're going to be prominent earlier in the card in the Grade 3 Forward Gal with a three-year-old filly by the name of Take Charge Paula, who comes out of a pretty nice win here at Gulfstream on December 9th. She makes her three-year-old debut, too. She was trained by Kelly Breen previously. Tell me a little bit about her coming into this race.
She's trained very well. Luckily enough, if it's wet down there this afternoon, she did win on sloppy track at Gulfstream December 9th, I believe. And she's trained very well. She's nice filly. We just hope that 7 furlongs she can handle. And hopefully we do as well as Kelly's done. He won 3 stakes with her, and she's very nice filly. So Peter Deutsch bought her in hopes of having a nice 3-year-old filly for this year in graded stakes.
Kieran, who else should we be keeping an eye on as we move down that road toward the Kentucky Oaks and toward the Kentucky Derby? Any other McLaughlin runners we should watch out for?
Not really, no, not at this time. I think Avery Island and Tice are big colts, and Take Charge Paula right now is our main filly. So we don't really have much else. Our numbers were down a little bit this year, but hopefully they pick up this spring with more 2-year-olds.
You know, earlier Jude and I were talking about your 3 previous wins in the Holy Bull with Closing Argument in 05 and then Cairo Prince and Mohamed. Closing Argument, Jude, is a horse that when I mentioned that name, you kind of cringe because he was one of your favorites, but boy, it could have been a whole lot better with Closing Argument.
Well, there's lots of things that happened with him, but
I know Kieran probably feels the same way.
Yeah, I'm sure he does, because Kieran and I were at Keeneland doing a television show together, and afterwards I asked him about Closing Argument, and he said, "Jude, this horse is training as good as he's ever trained in his life," and so I made several $100 worth of wagers and got nosed out. Not exactly thrilled with that, but he was a cool horse, and we at one time had him purchased, and then the owners decided to keep him. It turned out good for them and for Kieran, not so good for my brothers and I and our customers. So he was a hard luck horse for us, but and Kieran as well. But I still love him. Every time I see a horse by him win or something, it brings a smile to my face.
Yeah,
Kieran, how about for you?
Yeah, he almost made me famous winning the Kentucky Derby, just getting beat a neck to Giacomo at 73-1 or 72-1. That was the amazing thing. There was a rabbit in the race, and he was 60-1, and we were trying to win, and we were 72-1. Kind of hurt my feelings.
Well, I tell you, he ran a great race that day, and like I tell people, when Kieran McLaughlin tells you it's Easter, paint your eggs. You were right about him. He ran the race of his life, and lucky Mike liked Giacomo. He was by Holy Bull, and we were on a handicapping panel, and we ended up hitting the trifecta for 63,000. So it wasn't a total bust.
Yeah, that's very nice. It was a big payoff for sure. And that damn Mike Smith beat us. He always seems to be in our way at times, but great jockey.
You know who else can get in your way pretty easily in this sport is trainer Dale Romans, and he's coming up next. We're going to be joined by him in about 6 or 7 minutes, Kieran. But you beat him last time in the Kentucky Jockey Club with when he sent out Tiz Mischief. Now Enticed and Tiz Mischief get a nice little rematch. Dale entered 4 horses into the Holy Bull, so you might have your hands full with Dale Romans later today.
Yes, and his horses appear to be training very well. That's another one of my pet peeves I don't agree with in this run-up to the Kentucky Derby, and that's that we're giving him 6 pounds today. We beat him a nose. And I just feel like on these point races, trying to get to the Kentucky Derby, the 20 best horses, we should be running at equal weights instead of, you know, trying to get horses beat by piling on the weight. And it's my thoughts on it. But Dale's definitely the horse to beat, and 6 pounds is a big shift in weights in his favor.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think you're 100% correct. You want the best horses in the gate, and weight has a bigger factor than a lot of people believe.
Yeah, it's in New York, too. Avery Island's giving everybody 6 except the grade one winner, Freezing Fire. But I feel like if we're trying to get the 20 best in on Derby Day and it's equal weights that day, the point races maybe should be looked at as being equal weights to give the best horses a chance to get there.
Kieran, there's going to be people listening that hear you say 6 pounds and go, well, geez, it's only 6 pounds. What's the big deal? How significant is that in a big race like this, in any race, really?
In any race, it's very important. I mean, there's some formulas that say, you know, 3 pounds is 1 length going a mile. or thereabouts. But, you know, it makes a difference. And these are young horses. Luckily, both of my horses are big, strong colts. But weight, you know, can still stop a freight train if you put enough of it on it. So it's important. It's a negative for us today in both races. And, you know, because they won prep races, that's why we have to carry the weight. But it's definitely important, and it's a factor in gambling and handicapping like we all have to do. You have to consider a length or two going that far.
He's trainer Kieran McLaughlin here on the Equine Forum. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, Kieran will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Kieran, can't thank you enough for all the time, my friend. You're always very gracious with your time, and good luck today, both here in Florida and up in New York, and keep it rolling.
Thank you very much, and thanks for doing a great job promoting our game. You all do an excellent job. Thank you.
Thanks, Kieran. Kieran McLaughlin with us here on HRRN, one of the real good guys in the sport of thoroughbred racing. And, yeah, boy, it would sure be nice if he could win a Kentucky Derby for Sheikh Mohammed, and he's got a good one here in Enticed.
Yeah, both horses.
Yeah.
Avery Island's very nice, too. And he also has experience on and off track. I don't know what the conditions are like in New York, but just two really talented horses, and it sounds like Kieran feels like they're up to the task.
All right, we're going to take time out for our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, brought to you every single Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington. When we come back, we're going to be joined by trainer Dale Romans to talk about his four contenders that he entered in this year's Holy Bowl. That's next, right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
On October 27, 1974, at Woodbine in suburban Toronto, Canada, the 37th running of the Canadian International Championship Stakes over the testing distance of 13 furlongs was the feature race on the card. There were better than 25,000 fans on hand in typically resplendent autumn weather, with the foliage appearing as though Mother Nature had reached down with tender tendrils to paint the countryside in the splendiferous golden hues of the season. There was a young lady in the field who had already chalked up stakes scores in four different countries and was bidding to become the very first ever to have won stakes in five different countries. She was an elegant, lovely, statuesque young lady who simply exuded class, looked every bit the part, and she was a Kentucky bred. She was by Vaguely Noble out of Charming Alibi by Honey's Alibi and was racing in the silks of Nelson Bunker Hunt. She had won the Prix Yacoulef in France at two. At three, she had scored in the Irish Guinness Oaks, the King George VI and Queen Elizabeth Stakes in England, and the Prix Saint-Hilaire, the Prix de la Grotte, and the Prix Niais in France. And further, she had humiliated an outstanding field of international runners in the Washington, D.C. International, an invitational at Laurel Park in Maryland. At four, her age at the time of the event being recapitulated, she had won stakes in three countries: the Grand Prix de la Saint-Cloud in France, the King George and Queen Elizabeth Stakes, and the Benson and Hedges Gold Cup in England, and the Man of War Stakes right here in America. She was already a thoroughbred millionaireess, and this race, if she won it, would add another $91,000-plus to her already most imposing bankroll. She went postwards in this race at odds on, 85 cents to the dollar. Her bevy of backers were not the least bit disappointed with her effort this day. On a firm grass course, she toted her 123-pound impost to front-running fractions of 47-1 for a half, 137-3 for a mile, and a final time of 2:40 for the 1 5/8 miles, while winning with veritable ease. She had in the process clipped a full second off the course record for the distance set by Axe in 1963, and she went the distance in 1 4/5 seconds faster than Secretariat had done just the year before in his winning effort. She had become the world's leading money-winning distaffer and had pulled off something never done before in the entire illustrious annals of thoroughbred racing history. She won stakes races in five different countries: England, Ireland, France, America, and now Canada. She did have a nemesis, a la Noor to Citation, or affirmed to Aladar. That horse was named Ale France. The latter defeated our subject for this piece on all six occasions when they met over three racing seasons. Her lifetime statistics, 12 wins and 23 trips to the post, with composite earnings of better than $1,200,000, this classy lassie who personified elegance, grace, poise, and stature on the racetrack, who firmly planted her hoof marks in the pages of Crownell racing history with capital letters and capped off a marvelous career with that win at Woodbine, October 27, 1974, was the great Dahlia.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you gotta be more than fast.
More than fast.
You gotta be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
Ed's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Adina Springs Stallion, point of entry.
Point of entry scores to win the Man of War by four lengths.
A five-time Grade 1 winner viewed by many to be the heir to Dynaformer's global legacy.
Wild final furlong coming here in the Sword Dancer. And here comes point of entry, who's running to daylight.
The first horse since Theatrical to win the New York Turf Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined nine lengths.
And they're coming down to the finish, and point of entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a five-race winning streak.
Point of entry hails from a remarkable female family, with his first four dams Grade 1 winners and or producers. Now with winners in six countries on all surfaces from 5.5 to 10 furlongs, including the sensational undefeated Greatest Stakes winner, Analyze It, widely regarded as the best turf horse in his crop. The heir to Dynaformer and the next global sire is Point of Entry. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia.
My name is Paco Lopez.
This is Jose Lescano.
This is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Bravazo to the lead. Free Drop Billy moves up on the outside. Ready Prospector in third. Lion Knight a wide fourth. Ez Motion, give me a minute. Free Drop Billy runs by for the lead into the final furlong of the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity. Free Drop Billy opening up by three. Bravazo in second. Lion Knight third. Lone Sailor fourth. Give me a minute fifth. But no catching. Free Drop Billy, who wins it for Robbie Alvarado. Bravazo was home second. Lone Sailor rallied up for third. Close for fourth. Lionite or Give Me a Minute. The time, 1 minute 45 and 2/5 seconds.
That's our man Kurt Becker with the call of the Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland last year. Free Drop Billy getting the victory that afternoon. He comes into this afternoon's Grade 2 Holy Bull Stakes as the lone Grade 1 winner in the field, and he's one of four horses entered into the race for trainer Dale Romans, who's going to join us here momentarily on HRRN. Right after we do, welcome everybody back to the program. Mike Pena, Jude Feld, live from Gulfstream Park, getting set for that coverage of the Holy Bull this afternoon. It begins 4:30 Eastern Time. You can tune in on our affiliates in Louisville, Kentucky, and, of course, worldwide on our website at horseracingradio.net. Dale, good morning, my friend.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Everything's just peachy. I'm glad I didn't pick that rejoin clip of Hollywood Star winning.
Right. No, because he's going to scratch.
That would have been awkward.
Yeah, right.
I figured Free Drop Billy was a good one.
I've been grade one. Right, grade one winner. I've been on radio shows where they did things like that.
How about that performance that day? That was a good
performance. That was a big day. That was big. That race has been good to me. I think we won it four times, and it's a it's the only grade one two-year-old race in Kentucky unless the Breeders' Cup comes to town. So that was a big day. He's a good horse, and he's training awfully well.
So why the decision to scratch Hollywood Star?
Because they're the same owner. I wasn't going to run them against one another, but thought Post was going to be important in this race. So they're both about the same level coming back from the Breeders' Cup. I entered both of them, and if one of them got a free drop, got a bad draw, or he got sick or something, I could run the other and take the one I scratched up to Tampa with an extra week. And so that's what we'll end up doing. We're supposed to work this morning and then go to Tampa next week, but with the Florida rain and the sloppy racetrack, I'll put it off a day.
When you have so many horses like this, right, and you really are loaded again with Derby contenders, you've been here the past several years, trying to determine where each one's going to go, keeping them separate from each other, keeping all the owners happy. How do you do it?
No, it's tough. It's tough, and it gets confusing, and it gets confused and frustrated and aggravated, trying to figure out who should be where and what. And, I'm not going to ever separate them for myself, which would be better for me if every one of them could run. I'm going to run them all where I think the best race for them and their owner is for them to make Kentucky Derby. And that's why we ended up with three in here. But it seems like every year or before I start entering, you figure it out, and it just you get a piece about it. But getting there is hard to get to.
Yeah. All right, well, let's take them individually here. We'll start with Free Drop Billy, since we're talking about him now. Comes out of that effort in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, which I know was a bit disappointing for you. Didn't really fire that day at Del Mar. Now he comes here looking at this Holy Bull. Tell me about the past couple of months with him.
Well, he's been really good. We took him straight from the Breeders' Cup. You're right, he ran so bad, and I thought he was good. I let him over not knowing if he was going to win, but I knew he was going to run his race, and he didn't run a jump. Can't figure out why, what happened, what was different, why he ran poorly. He was doing good going into the race, training great. So we just draw a line through it. But since we got down here, he's grown up a little. He's gotten, he's not a big horse, but he's gotten bigger, and his works have been great. That last work, and really, was like 58-4 or something. He was just smoking around there.
Yeah, maybe he was like so many horses, didn't particularly care for Del Mar, but he looked good training down there.
But you don't know. That's different to train and have a horse in hand than it is when you drop their head. That's when they really don't like the surface. And that's about the only thing to come up with. He was stuck on the fence, which was plain dead, and he saw other horses about the same point between a half-mile pole and three-eighths pole. It looked like they just were in quicksand and backed up to last. That's almost too easy of a reason.
Yeah.
And so I'd say I'd have no reason because I'd rather have none than a bad one.
Right? Yeah, that's right.
You go changing something that doesn't need changing just because you have to have a reason.
Right.
You make problems.
Right.
We've talked about that before on here.
So with that being said, obviously you want to win today, but what do you need to see from him coming back as a three-year-old?
I would love to win, but all I want him to do is he runs well and he comes running down the lane, there's two more spots. Then we go back, regroup, and two more races to preps for the Derby. This is a little different this year. I'm trying to get three races in the horses instead of two, and it's just the way that the horses are and how they came around. So he'll come out running and finish strong, and I'd love to see him get up, but if he doesn't, we'll reload and go to another one.
Why the change from two preps to three?
It's just the way the horses are doing and how things kind of fell with them, I think. Got the one horse coming out of Churchill that ran late in November, never backed off on him, so might as well keep running instead of training on him. And these two horses came back quicker than expected.
That's music to your ears, JT.
Yeah, well, I think it's a good idea. To me, the two prep thing is really asking a young horse to do a lot, and especially going a mile and a quarter. You're relatively old school trainer.
Yeah,
right.
I would say so. I'm kind of stuck in the middle. I talked to another trainer about that yesterday, that we had seen the best of the game when we were first coming in. If we'd never seen it, we wouldn't miss it.
But yeah.
And then we've kind of gotten into the new generation, the high-tech social media, the educated young kid trainers coming up behind you. If you're like Tiger Woods, you see, look, turn around, you got Chad Brown over your shoulder and all these young guys coming up. It's like looking back and seeing Spieth back there.
Yeah. Well, I always say I was lucky to be at the end of the golden age of horse racing, really, when we had all the
big Hall of Famers, Bobby Frankel, Laz Pereira, Charlie Whittingham. I on the West Coast, you know, I mean, it was a who's who of racing, and I was part of that, and I really am glad that I was. And I understand at that time I was one of those young guys. I won my first 100 grander. Charlie Whittingham said, "You got to squash the ants before they eat the whole picnic."
Yeah, that's right. He's right. And, you know, it doesn't mean that it's wrong. It was better, or that this is the wrong way, or not as good. It's just different than what we started out and grew up in. But for guys like Chad that are coming up now, that this is all they've really known, and they're doing great. You know, we sat out on the back porch of Saratoga a couple of years ago. Me, Tony Dutrell, Rick Dutrell, Angel Cordero, and somebody else was listening. And we started talking about those guys you just talked about, all the old trainers and how we looked up to them. So, and then Angel says to us, you know, it might be that you all are just the old men now. Y'all were kids looking up. He said, there's probably a lot of kids out there looking up to you guys just like you all did for Woody or Whittingham. And,
that's a good point.
And all the greats of the game. And I see it with the jockeys. You know, I was a leading trainer at Turfway at 21, so all these jockeys were older than me back then. When Pat Dade walked in the paddock to ride my horse, it was yes, sir, no, sir, thank you. Oh, you rode a bad race. Well, we won't do it next time. And now there are a bunch of little kids coming out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I knew I was getting old when the oldest Dodger was younger than me. So,
right.
I said, that's it. I'm done.
So I think it has a whole lot to do with the game changing, but us changing.
You know, something else that pertaining to the Holy Bull in particular and to the Derby prep races, Dale, you mentioned the change from going from two preps to three because of the way the horses are coming into this season. But Free Drop Billy is going to carry 122 pounds. He's going to give 6 pounds to some of the other horses in here, including your horse, Tiz Mischief. Enticed is carrying 122. Kieran thought that with these Derby preps, if we're going to make everybody on equal footing, everybody should carry the same weight. Do you agree?
I don't know. I'd have to think about that one.
Yeah.
I agree when I'm the one with 122. I wouldn't agree.
Yeah. If you got 116, you're like...
ask Karen that same question when he's the lightweight in there.
Yeah, it's a good point. You know, Tiz Mischief carries 116, so he gets 6 pounds from Free Drop Billy and from Enticed. Robbie back aboard, a horse that has just been so, so good, just missed in the Kentucky Jockey Club last time out.
Too Enticed.
Yeah, Too Enticed, yeah.
He's a good horse, and he's the one that had the biggest – needed to make the biggest change, I thought, from two to three, and he did it. I mean, he's come down here and trained. He went from being a teenage boy to a man and since he's been here, and he's trained so well. And he only got beat a nose on equal weights at Churchill Downs, so maybe that'll make the difference.
Yeah, can't hurt.
Kieran said you have no shot.
Yeah, he told me the same thing Monday.
You know, I have to say, we were talking about Charlie Whittingham. You know, one time he sent me to the windows to bet on a horse of his that was 50-1, and I said, "Do you really like that horse?" And he goes, "No, I bet out of respect for the trainer." So I'm looking at the future book bets, and your horse had just run second, and ran a great race, I thought, and he's up there at 40-1. I said, "I got to take Dale at 40-1 on this one." I mean, and then I saw you come out and say he's the real deal. I'm starting to get excited.
Well, you should be excited because you know, if things go the way we want, he's going to go into the Derby at 9-2.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's cool.
No, he's a very good horse, and he is. He's doing so good. You know, you talk about Charlie because Ron Anderson was telling me a story with Charlie the other day. He says, I was telling him the same thing about horses, that the 2-3 change, and if they make it, and some of them never do, and that's why they were great two-year-olds. They were all the way matured up at two. And he told me, Charlie was telling him a story. He said, watch this bald-faced horse galloping down the lane. He said, he has really made the change. He said he made a hand gesture, like a wave of change from 2-3. It was Sunday Silence.
Wow. Yeah, they can change that quickly.
They change that quickly. And sometimes you just sit there and keep waiting for the change and training on them, and they don't change. But I thought that was pretty good. He said Charlie said the same thing. He said this horse, he made the turn, he said.
Yeah. Well, there's some horses make that turn from 2-3, and then some of them don't make it again till 3-4. And
it seems like there could be a lull in late summer, and I think you see that with you watch all these horses when they're not only is it so tough on them to go, like you're talking about the third race for the Derby. I used to always look at a bigger picture of it's not just the third race of Derby, but then if you win, you want to go to Preakness, and you want to go to Belmont. You want to have that horse, so you're looking at five races instead of hard grinding races. Well, this year we're going to look at six.
Yeah. But you said something that I think is important that a lot of people miss is,
you don't have to train them as hard when they're running.
Right.
You just kind of float along. You do more jogging, some light training. You don't have to be pounding on them. These guys that have the two preps, they're always out there pounding.
Yep.
Now, granted, everybody only works a half a mile now. Anything over that is
not everybody
noteworthy. But yeah, well, the old school guys,
right.
they know. Even Baffert now has changed. If you look at Baffert's training patterns. And I've been doing this since I was a kid, but if you look at Baffert, he works horses 7/8, sometimes a mile, because he's only running them 2-3 times a year, and he puts the distance works in him like Charlie and the Chief.
So what's more beneficial, racing or training?
Oh, I think it's much better to race than to train, but you ask the expert.
You've got a horse like Tiz Mischief sitting in the barn. I get to think. I skipped 1 week just working, just kept going. I said, "What am I going to do? He's going to get tired of this after a while. Let's get him." So we got to put him in the game. And like I said, first race back, I consider as much a training technique as you always want to win, but you just want to see where you're going to go and what's your big picture down the road, what you're going to need to change with their first race back.
You said he's going to get tired of it. Do horses get bored?
I think so.
Yeah,
doing the same thing. Yeah, well, they're creatures of habit, so they do like doing the same things all the time. But I think once they start running, they know that they like to race. Yeah. When you say, I think they know absolutely. All about it. I think they know what they're doing. I think they're a lot smarter than we give them credit for.
Yeah. Your third horse that you're going to send out today in the Holy Bull, Bandito, longest shot of the three by far. Tell me a little bit about him.
Yeah, he's a good horse. I really had high hopes for him when he broke his maiden at Keeneland. We sent him up to Remsen, and he came back with a little lung infection, a little thing, a little this, a little that, and had plenty of excuses for his bad race. And, you know, Mr. Kelly, he likes to run to big races. Because he has so many horses, he needs to find out which ones can fit and which ones can't. And he has, a pretty much sole objective of winning the Kentucky Derby. And,
yeah.
And so I like a guy that lets me run them where I want in the big races.
Yeah, he's got a heck of a pedigree, too, by Creative Cause out of a Bernardini mare.
He's a well-bred horse. He's a big, pretty horse. And he could definitely jump in there and put himself in the picture.
All right, Dale Roman's here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Dale, as always, appreciate the visit, my friend. Thank you for making the effort to get over here from the barn area and join us in person. Always great
Thank
to see
you. It's always better live.
Yeah, and Dale, like all of our guests who appear on the program, receives a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. We'll get that to him, and good luck today, my friend.
Thank you.
Go get it done. All right, we're going to get to a break. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pin hooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at tonysteaksandseafood.com.
Airdrie Studs Summer Front, a gorgeous millionaire son of the Great War Front, has wasted no time in establishing himself as a major force in the commercial marketplace. Known on the racetrack for his electric turn of foot, Summer Front's first crop weanlings averaged over $100,000 with a sensational $100,000 median at the Keeneland November sale, all from an initial stud fee of just $10,000. Airdrie Studs Summer Front. Think about it.
Join HRRN for Saturdays at Gulfstream. Every Saturday during Gulfstream Park's championship meet, we'll bring you live racing coverage of Gulfstream's biggest stakes races, complete with expert analysis from our award-winning staff. This week's featured race is the Holy Bull Stakes. Saturdays at Gulfstream, exclusively on HRRN. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information or to listen live.
Hey, it's Corey Lannery. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Dorset's got a split horses, and they're homeward bound in the Gold Cup. A watcher on Bomber and Dorset are going to match right. Dorset on the right-hand drive. It's going to draw off now to open up by two, by three. Dorset, Shalon Samuel celebrates. 2016 Gold Cup goes to Dorset. And Robert Pierce and Shalon Samuel done the Madu pair of father and son. Watcheron Bomber second. On the inside, Warvoy was third. Sanders Creek was fourth. And the winner stopped the clock at 149-2. What a great race here at the girls in Savannah today. Linden Yard, they're coming your way.
Linden Yard, they're coming your way.
Coming your way. That's Dean Springer, the voice of Garrison Savannah in Barbados, with the call of last year's Barbados Gold Cup. Dorset getting the victory that afternoon. No doubt he'll be back to look for the hat trick. Three in a row this year when he goes to the post March 3rd in that Sandy Lane Barbados Gold Cup. We will be there once again on site at Garrison Savannah to bring you that exclusive coverage. You'll be able to tune in beginning 3 p.m. Eastern on March 3rd, and that's a broadcast that also features the Fountain of Youth Stakes from Gulfstream Park. Anthony Stabile and Dan Mason will be live from Gulfstream to bring you that portion of the coverage and then kick it over to us down in Barbados. And, yeah, should be a great day. Our good friend, the voice of Naira and the voice of the Triple Crown, Larry Colmus, will be joining us in Barbados. He'll be part of that broadcast team and really looking forward to getting down there with the announcer.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, and he's actually going to get to call a race in Barbados, which will be entertaining for him and for the fans, and looking forward to that. And Dorset's going to be back to try to win it a third time in a row, which I think only Blast of Storm has done that. There's a statue of Blast of Storm in the walking ring at Garrison Savannah. So lots of interest. And Mr. Ramsey, he's sick of losing 2 years in a row. He won 2 years in a row, then he lost 2 years in a row. He wants to get back in the winner's circle. So make no mistakes, Shining Copper is coming down. And then
Sir Dudley Diggs.
Sir Dudley Diggs, who won the Queen's Plate. We were there for that. So he's got a powerful 1-2 punch in the race.
Yeah, he's going to be tough to beat this year. But, you know, don't count out Dorset. Last year they were kind of overlooking him, saying he's not going to win it 2 years in a row. He's not doing as good as he was the year before. All of a sudden he jumps up and beats Ken Ramsey and everybody else. He's going to try and do the same thing this year. And just won a race the other day, didn't he?
Yeah. They were saying the same thing. When they get close to the Gold Cup, Robert Pierce figures out what he needs to do and gets him ready and ready to roll. But the stakes are going to be good. A lot of nice horses running that day as per usual, and figures to be a great card.
All right, don't forget that you can weigh in on our poll question here this morning. The poll question at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, and here's the way it goes. If a horse wins a Derby prep race on a wet track, do you A, upgrade the win, B, downgrade the win, or C, handle it as if it really doesn't matter either way? So those are your three choices. We want to hear from you. We'll kind of update you on the results here in just a couple of moments. Right after we tell you all about Coolmore America's champion juvenile, that Shanghai Bobby. Well, he's gotten off to a fast start last year with three stakes winning two-year-olds in his first crop, and things are already starting to heat up again in 2018. Gotta Go, winner of the Street Sense Stakes at two, will make his three-year-old debut today at Gulfstream in the Grade 3 Swale. And out west at Santa Anita, Shiver Me Timbers will look to establish his classic credentials in the Grade 3 Robert B. Lewis. Shanghai Bobby is one of 10 Grade 1 winning juveniles standing at Coolmore America, so call the team at Ashford for unbeatable value. Yeah, Shanghai Bobby, he was pretty darn good and really off to a fast start. Results of the poll question so far. Let's see. If a horse wins a Kentucky Derby prep on a wet track, looks like JT. Wow, it's close. 36% of those weighing in say it doesn't matter if it's a wet track or a dry track. 35% say they upgrade the win, and only 29% saying that they actually downgrade the victory over a wet track. That's surprising to me.
Yeah, very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, I would have thought that downgrade might have been the leader in the clubhouse, but not so far.
No.
Not so far. All right, our coverage this afternoon, 4:30 Eastern. It includes that Grade 2 Holy Bull. That's the signature race on an outstanding day of racing here at Gulfstream. And as of now, the rain has subsided. We still have those battleship gray skies overhead, but no rain falling at the moment. It was falling lightly about 20 or 30 minutes ago. The main track is sealed. At least it was during the break here this morning, so they are training over a sealed main track. Dale Romans, as we were talking before he started his interview here in that last segment, I asked him about that. I said, look, how does this track drain, and if we don't get any more rain, will it be a dry track by the time we get to race time? And he thought it would be, Jude. He thinks by the time we get to the Holy Bull Stakes, which is set for 5:49 Eastern, he thinks it can be dry if we don't get much more rain.
Yeah, that's going to be the big question. I mean, we can see some darker clouds off in the distance here. We're paddock side, walking ring side at Gulfstream currently, but the storm's just kind of sitting over Hallandale Beach and surrounding areas, so we'll see what develops. But hopefully we'd get a fast track. Kieran said he wanted a fast track. Dale obviously would like one too, so wouldn't we all?
Yeah, it'd be great to see, and we'll find out if Mother Nature wants to do her part on that front. Coming up in the second half of the program, we're going to be joined by Jim Lawson, who is the CEO of Woodbine Entertainment. Looking forward to that visit. That comes your way in just 2 or 3 minutes from right now. Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing here at Gulfstream, is going to be with us right around 9:25 Eastern, and we'll wrap it up with a visit with Eddie Olczyk, longtime NHL star, now broadcaster for the NHL and NBC. Last week, he was here at Gulfstream to take down the top prize in the Pegasus World Cup betting challenge. We'll talk to Eddie right around 9:40 Eastern time. So a lot to get to. We'll kick it all off next, right after we pause. 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is forever unbridled. Abel Tasman charging, but one another time. Forever unbridled's going to do it. Forever unbridled has won the Breeders' Cup Distaff.
It is Irish War Cry. And on the outside, Taprit. Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish War Cry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Shaman Ghost is trying to get into second, then Neolithic. Back forth is Noble Bird, followed by Keen Ice. But what a race! What a sport! What a horse! Arrogate rops in the Pegasus. He won it by 3.5.
They're into the stretch. Good Magic's in front. Good Magic pulls away from Solomini, and Boldoro will not get there today. Good Magic's going to win his first race, and he's going to do it in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, rolling on from Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida. If you are just tuning in, well, you missed a good first hour. You can head back to our website, check out our interviews with Kieran McLaughlin and with Dale Romans. You can do that at your leisure, horseracingradio.net and Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. JT, the gray clouds still in attendance with us here this morning. A lot of rain coming down as we were driving to the racetrack around 7 o'clock this morning. That rain has pretty much subsided to this point. Occasionally we'll see a couple of sprinkles roll through, but right now really not raining. The main track is sealed. It will be sloppy, at least to start the day. First post this afternoon is noon Eastern. It'll be sloppy to start the day, but hopefully drying out as we move closer to post time for the Holy Bowl, which is 5:49.
Yeah, we can only hope that is what takes place, but that remains to be seen because the storm clouds are hanging out here.
The Holy Bowl Stakes, all part of our Saturdays at Gulfstream broadcast series. You can join us every single Saturday during the meet for exclusive coverage of the biggest stakes races throughout the Gulfstream meet, all leading up to the Florida Derby on March 31st. And speaking of Florida Derby, JT, we do need to let people know that they still have time to enter our Road to the Florida Derby Challenge, where in partnership with Gulfstream, we are giving away a trip for two to this year's Florida Derby on March 31st. It includes airfare, lodging, tickets to the event, and, of course, an appearance with us on the show that morning right here in this very spot.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun to have a guest to tell us how they did it. We right now have some people that have picked a lot of winners in the contest, so you really don't have much time to catch up. I mean, you got to play today, and the time your picks need to be in is 5:19 Eastern time. So go to the website, put your picks in, and get a chance at that prize. It's going to be fantastic. Mike Nyman, we're going to have on later, and he'll explain more about the prize, but he's pulled out all the stops for this, and it's really going to be a two-day event for the winner. There's a lot of things happening on Florida Derby Day, and then Sunday, the day after, he's got some things planned too. So it's going to be a very nice experience for the winner, and we're looking forward to sharing some time here on HRRN with them.
Yeah, the Florida Derby, always a major stepping stone to the Kentucky Derby on the first Saturday in May, which, in case you're wondering, now just 91 days, 7 hours, 51 minutes, and 2 seconds away from the Run for the Roses.
I'll be there in 2 seconds.
Saturday, May 5th. We will be there as your exclusive radio home in partnership with NBC Sports and Westwood One, bringing you all that coverage on Derby Day and throughout Derby Week. Head to our website to check out a complete broadcast schedule. All right, Jude. Well, since we're talking about the Kentucky Derby and the Derby picture with three Derby preps on the docket for today, the Holy Bull, the Robert B. Lewis in California, and then, of course, the Withers in New York. We also need to talk about what's happening north of the border with our friends at Woodbine Racetrack and getting set for the 159th Queen's Plate, which we'll bring your way here on the network coming up at the end of June, 147 days, 8 hours, and 55 minutes away from the Queen's Plate.
Oh, now you're talking.
Yeah, and I know that's music to the ears of Jim Lawson, who is the CEO of Woodbine, who joins us now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jim, welcome, my friend. Great to talk with you.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Jude. Nice to be on, guys. I don't know how many seconds there are to the Queen's Plate, but we'll figure that out later. But I'm envious of you guys. Great card at Gulfstream today. So hope it goes well. I'm looking forward to Untamed Domain on the grass. Hopefully the grass course is okay there after all that rain.
Yeah, our friends at West Point Thoroughbreds, Terry Finley, and they're going to be busy today. They have their big horse running in California and the Robert B. Lewis. They have Untamed Domain here at Gulfstream Park. So good luck to the folks at West Point Thoroughbreds. And Jim, what an amazing 2017 you get to look back on at Woodbine. Just a tremendous year. What's the key to keeping things rolling and rolling in the right direction north of the border, my friend?
Well, I think more than anything, yes, we did have a great year. Our wagering was up on our home live racing. We were up over $500 million this year, which was significant growth. I think more than anything, it's a young, energetic, and focused workforce at Woodbine. I think it's we've managed to recruit some talented people, and we are becoming leaders, if not the leader in North America, in innovation and technology. And what that's led to is just certainly starting to have much deeper penetration in the U.S. market, but also into Asia and Australia. So it's been a good story, and a lot of it's just I can attribute it to the team we're starting to build.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the team, Jim, because it has been sort of this culture change that you've instituted at Woodbine, and it's been wildly successful. Talk a little bit about that culture change.
Well, we came in, when I came in, I mean, one of the first things, like, what needs to change? And it was interesting. The number one item was we have a sleepy industry. We have a group of complacent people. We haven't done a lot of marketing. We just haven't recruited young people. And so in a pretty hierarchical old style industry, and Woodbine was no exception. And I think we have completely changed it around. We've started to recruit on campuses, and the only way you can do that, I believe, is level the playing field, give these young, talented people a voice in how they're doing things, communicate to the entire workforce, technological innovation change, but listen to them and connect with them and talk to them regularly. And we've done that. And as a kind of foundation and testament to how we've done, we have 2,000 full-time employees at Woodbine, and I think the first year we had something around 25% participation in a Great Places to Work survey. Very low participation, very low trust index. And after this is our third year doing it on the Great Places to Work survey, which is, you know, one of the, with a few objective standards in terms of employee participation in a survey. And we were close to 80% participation this year, and our trust index at 71% put us on one of the great places to work in the country. So we've, that's a great objective test. It gives you a sense and confidence that we're doing things right. But more than anything, you can feel the momentum out of the young people and contributing. And of course, from a leadership standpoint, you have to be open to new ideas and try new things. And we're definitely doing that. And some of them work and some of them don't work. And we're excited. I think we're in a great place, not only in Canada, but internationally to move Woodbine forward.
Well, there's no question when you go to Woodbine and you meet the staff and the enthusiasm that they have for Woodbine and for our game, it really is impactful. I mean, it's so noticeable. You know, Mike and I travel all over the country and other parts of the world, too, to horse races, and we deal with a lot of people at a lot of racetracks. But when you go to Woodbine, they just make you feel so good. And you have a tremendous group of women that work for Woodbine, too, that I think it's very important to have these women on staff and get their opinions and insights and their love of horses and the game. I mean, it's such a great place to go. And we tell everybody, you know, if you haven't been to the Queen's Plate, you got to go. I mean, it's just such a great event and very impressive. I can't say enough nice things about
Thank you for those comments. Yeah, we're very proud of what we've achieved, and we have a great management team in place, and just excited going forward for all the reasons you just said. It's having feedback on our customers, on our horsemen, on our wagering platform. It's all been good.
Talking with Jim Lawson, the CEO of Woodbine Entertainment, here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jim also serves as the chair of the CFL's Board of Governors, and the CFL has had an awful lot of success over the years as well. Jim, are there any similarities in the approach that you've taken at Woodbine to what you see happening with the CFL, and any correlation to the success of both organizations?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it starts a little bit with the challenges that these sports share, and sports generally are sharing challenges of aging demographics. And combined with the aging demographics, you have a millennial generation who consumes sports in different ways. So we have to reach out both at Woodbine and in the Canadian Football League, and we share that challenge in terms of communication with your fans, making them feel part of it, using social media, because that's been the consumption form. And so it's been very helpful to be part of both organizations and see good young teams, how they approach it and attack it. And so it's been a great learning curve for me, having good young people saying, here's the way we've got to reach out to this young consumer and challenge the younger, that aging demographic that's going on in sports generally. I think golf feels it, tennis feels it. You're starting to see signs of it even in the National Football League, which is in many ways the holy grail of sports. So it's an interesting challenge for us, and I have the benefit of sharing how two major sports in Canada approach it.
Yeah, and to that point, Jim, a lot of times we see this in the NFL or with Major League Baseball. One of the things that they'll do to help make themselves more attractive to a younger fan base is they'll revamp their facilities, and they may build a brand new stadium. They may remodel the stadium that they have in place now. You, last year, announced some major renovation plans for the property at Woodbine, and I had a chance to take a little bit of a tour through the model of what that might look like. Tell me a little bit more about that and where things stand and what folks can look forward to moving forward.
Well, that, too, is a really positive story, and it does, just as a segue from our last topic. I mean, we need to build that guest experience in horse racing, too. It's, you know, so much of our sales / wagering are on the Internet. However, we can't forget to bring core customers and build the popularity of the sport. And in fact, investors and slash owners for the future of horse racing. And the way we're going to do that is bring them out to the racetrack, show them how much fun it is, give them that great experience with the food experience, the entertainment experience, and racetracks are doing that a good job of that on the big days. And we are transforming the Woodbine site. We've been blessed with a 700-acre parcel, which is just in Toronto, for the largest undeveloped piece of land in the greater Toronto area. And we're working with our new gaming partners, Great Canadian Gaming and Brookfield, and we're hoping in the next year and a half that we will have $1.5 billion of expansion that will be well integrated into the Woodbine property, and it will bring a music theater of 5,000 seats and totally integrated with food and beverage into what we're doing, and all with a view to bringing and attracting new fans to horse racing. And our partners at Great Canadian and Brookfield have been very regard, and we're excited. Our vision for the future is to build out the site, and at the core of it, at the heart of it, will be the racetrack, and somewhat akin to what you see in large venues in the world, and like in Hong Kong, where you see a lot built up around the racetrack, and we're excited about it.
Speaking of music theaters and a place where you can have top acts come in and perform, you're going to do that with this year's Queen's Plate, which comes up on June 30th. And you've got a good headliner up there, Jim, by the name of Brad Paisley, who's going to perform at the Queen's Plate Festival on Friday, June 29th. By the way, I'm still lobbying for a one-on-one interview with Brad, but we'll talk about that later. tell me a bit about getting Brad Paisley.
Brad Paisley. I'm thrilled with your support, and you've been up the last couple of years, and looking forward to hosting you again this year. You guys will come up. Brad is, from what I know of him, and I love his music, he's the type of guy that would definitely do an interview. He's a very down-to-earth, giving individual, and we'll see what we can do. But we're excited about having Brad Paisley. I think, obviously, an international superstar in the country genre, and it'll just be the lead into a great weekend. The Queen's Plate, 159th, as you mentioned, on the Saturday, and it's Canada Day on the Sunday, and we're going to have entertainment all weekend, again with our Hats and Horseshoes party, which brings, you know, the last couple of years 12,000 people out, and it'll be exciting. It'll be presented by Stella Artois, our sponsor, and it's just getting bigger and better every year, and the food, as you know, and the fashion are second to none, so we're excited about it.
Yeah, it's such a great event, and it's cool to see Sir Dudley Diggs, winner of the Queen's Plate. He's going to be running in Barbados in the Sandy Lane Gold Cup coming up, and it's great to see that race have an impact, on other parts of the world, and you guys just are absolutely over the top in what you do for the fans out there. But you mentioned the horsemen earlier, and I think it's so important that racetracks recognize the horsemen's part in what they do. And there's no better place, is there, to train a horse in North America than Woodbine? There's so many different aspects of training horses that you can utilize there, different tracks and training tracks and a fantastic barn area. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, we like to think so. We think it's, you know, one of the best ways to attract the trainers. They call the shots, and if we create that environment, we have a great dirt training track, which we'll open at the end of February, and a grass training track, and of course then our tapeta and our turf track, and as you probably know, we're in the midst of installing a second turf course at Woodbine, and just our facilities are second to none in terms of training, and we run a good backstretch and look after our people, and we're very proud of it. And I think that's all part and parcel of the horsemen come first. Without them, we don't have a business, and they've got to be happy, and just a continuing effort to attract new owners. And because if they can come and share in that backstretch experience and hear their trainers happy rather than their trainers grumbling, it creates a much better environment and for people getting into this business, which I think is should be a goal for all of us in the horse racing industry.
Woodbine CEO Jim Lawson here on the Horse Racing Radio Network doing a tremendous job. He and his entire team really have things rolling in the right direction. If you've never made the trip to Woodbine, we highly recommend it. The Queen's Plate would be a great time to come. We're going to be there to bring you that exclusive radio coverage on Saturday, June 30th, the 159th running of that historic Queen's Plate, 147 days, 8 hours, and now just 41 minutes away. Jim, appreciate the visit, my
Beautiful.
Friend. Thank you for all
love
your
it,
support.
Love it, guys.
And, yeah, loved it. It was a great time. Thank you so
Look
much,
forward
Jim.
Forward to seeing you up here. Take care. All the best today. All right. Enjoy. Thanks.
All right. And like all of our guests, Jim going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing, going to join us live from Gulfstream Park coming up after our next commercial break. But first, it is time for your Blood Horse News update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Yeah, the Stronach Group announcing bigger and better things in the future for Gulfstream Park. Stronach Group considers changes to Gulfstream's facility. The Stronach Group is studying improvements and expansion plans designed to keep the $16 million Pegasus World Cup Invitational at Gulfstream Park. Stronach Group Chairman and President Belinda Stronach said plans being considered include finding partners to help develop land around the racetrack, improve the grandstand, and construct an adjacent hotel that could be used to expand capacity during major events such as the Pegasus. Wow, pretty exciting news. Don't forget, there's no better way to follow racing, breeding, industry news, and more than with Bloodhorse. There are so many platforms in which they bring it to you. Their website, bloodhorse.com, the Bloodhorse Daily app, Bloodhorse Magazine, and their social media feeds. You can follow Bloodhorse on Twitter, Facebook, and on Instagram. We'll get to one more quick break. Mike Nyman joins us next. We'll talk to him about those expansion plans, and we'll talk to him about the success of last week's Pegasus World Cup. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Power. Carrick Gondi, the favorite in front. The Spaniard, News Al Canarias, is fighting back. Carrick Gondi has won.
Passion.
Prestige Vendome is making him fight all the way towards the line. It's Carrick Gondi winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Carrick Gondi with a rush on the outside goes Batum. Lead run from Adam Dore. Carrick Gondi and Odor. Carrick Gondi.
Gainsway stallion Carrick Gondi, the regally bred Breeders' Cup mile winner, recorded three Grade 1 victories on his way to earning more than $1.9 million. A precocious juvenile, Carrick Gondi recorded a Grade 1 win at 2 before taking the prestigious French 2000 Guineas at 3, followed by an electrifying stretch run in the Breeders' Cup mile to defeat older horses with a final time of 1:32 4/5. Carrick Gondi's first weanling sold for up to $250,000 with an average of more than $68,000. Carrick Gondi, standing at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Fans, come join us this Saturday for world-class racing at Santa Anita as we've got a total of four graded stakes. The Grade 3 Robert B. Lewis for Derby Hopefuls at a mile and 1/16, the Grade 2 Palos Verdes, the Grade 2 San Pasquale, and the Grade 2 San Marcos at a mile and 1/4 on turf. Fans, please note, in addition to a $500,000 guaranteed late pick four pool each weekend, Santa Anita now offers a revamped wagering menu that includes parlay wagers, 50-cent trifectas, and more. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
In the Navy now, far outside, line of best fitted in the Navy now. It's going to come down to a photo, and it's in the Navy now to win it by a half a head from line of best fit.
In the Navy now, the son of Darley Stallion Midshipman remained undefeated in 2018 with a big win in the Nellie Moore Stakes at Laurel. And that winning effort makes her your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Midshipman, an Eclipse Champion two-year-old and record-breaking Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner. Midshipman tops the list with more stakes horses since 2015 than every other stallion standing at under $15,000. More stakes winners than Super Saver, Looking at Lucky, and Temple City from the same sire crop. To learn more about Midshipman and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Bruce Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
And a holy bull, a big afternoon leads it by 3.5 to 4 lengths as they come to the top of the stretch in the Florida Derby. Halo's Image second, Ride the Rails third, Gold for Jim fourth, and Dramatic Gold. Now with an eighth of a mile to go, Holy Bull has led every step of the way and has the commanding 4.5 to 5 length lead. The battle will be for second. Halo's Image, Ride the Rails, and Gold for Jim. A dramatic performance this afternoon by Holy Bull.
Yeah, our annual Holy Bull clip winning the Florida Derby. And what an impressive performance that was. Of course, he would go on to not do so well in the Kentucky Derby, but turned out to be pretty darn good. He was the Horse of the Year in 1994. And Holy Bull, honored today with the Grade 2 Holy Bull Stakes here at Gulfstream Park. It is part of our Saturdays at Gulfstream broadcast series. Our exclusive radio coverage comes up this afternoon, 4:30 Eastern. 2 hours of coverage. Make sure you're locked into us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Welcome back to Gulfstream. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, still under overcast skies. They're beginning to lighten, though. We had dark gray skies a short time ago, the lighter gray building in, and according to our good friend Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing, he says not to worry. The clouds will depart, and we'll have a fast track for the races this afternoon. What do you think?
No doubt about it. We need a little rain every once in a while, you know, so it's good to have it early in the morning. But this is all passing through in the next half hour. It's moving south, and this track drains very quickly, so I wouldn't be surprised we're fast and firm right off the bat.
Dal Roman said the same thing. He said it drains very, very well here at Gulfstream. Last week, Mike, let's start with that. Looking back on the Pegasus World Cup, amazing. More than $80 million in handle over the course of the 3 days with that Pegasus Festival. Well done.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
What a weekend here for this place. Saturday, as you mentioned, we handled $42 million. It was a $2 million increase over the prior year, which is great in itself, and that set a record for Gulfstream Park all time in its 78, 79-year history, wherever we're at now. And the only days that surpassed it were the three Breeders' Cup days here, so we can kind of put that aside. But on a regular Gulfstream card, that was become the number one handle day. So it was great. We had about 17,000 people out here. This place was buzzing. As you know, and you mentioned when we had talked last week, it's really a different day, and it was with all the celebrities here and the concert they had here at night, which went on till 2 o'clock in the morning. It was a big hit. The place was packed.
Did you make it till 2 a.m.?
No, I was gone way before that.
Well, you were here about 2 a.m., huh? You were here early on Pegasus Day.
So. Yeah, I was here about 5:30.
What was the name of the rapper that played over
Post Malone?
Post Malone. My favorite part of the afternoon was when we were on the air, and I described it down below us here in the walking ring. You had Frank Stronach down there, you had the Florida governor there, and then here come Post Malone, right?
Yeah.
And the three of them together, what a picture that was.
He's the one that called riders up, Post Malone. I don't know if he caught that.
Yeah, which was more like, gentlemen, start your engines.
That was great.
But it was all part of what made that day special last week.
Yeah, it was just the whole day was great. Got a lot of great feedback from all the fans and customers that attended that day. So, you know, for us it was great. Now, as you know, it's already been announced it's coming back next year, so we're already back working on it. We already had a debriefing meeting yesterday, and the way the meeting started was we know all the great things, we know all the accolades, we all read everything. However, we need to discuss what we didn't do right. and to make sure that we improve these things next year. So we went around all the managers at our weekly staff meeting, and we discussed some of the issues. And obviously, on anything, there's always going to be some problems, but very, very few, fortunately, and things that we can correct and make better even next year and bigger and better. So I'm all excited for that. Actually, you know, I got home that night, and I thought I was just going to pass right out, and I was so excited for the pick six on Sunday for another big day. I mean, that just made the whole weekend. It was just off the hook. As you guys know, we ended up with almost a $20 million pool, which is what I figured it was going to be when we had talked last week. So that just, you know, and the people turned out here Sunday. It was one of our busiest Sundays as well, so people came right back at it, and were ready to go. So that was all good.
And then, to think Eddie Olczyk wins your handicapping contest, that was
amazing.
Fantastic.
And he came out of nowhere. I mean, he wasn't in the top 10.
The article I read said that he had just over the minimum $3,000 in his bankroll going into that Pegasus, the last
race.
Right. Yeah.
And he ended up, and he'll tell you, he had the triple for a big ticket. He used in the third spot two horses, Uguna Vera. And he used Seeking the Soul. Well, I guess I didn't get my dinner on that.
That's right. Dallas will never talk to you again.
Well, I was figuring if you win the race, where was he going to fly me to for dinner? I mean, I couldn't let him off the hook locally, right?
Yeah, you got to go to Commander's Palace.
There you go. So he pulled it out. It was unbelievable. And what was great is when I went home at night, I rewatched the NBC broadcast, and right before, about 5 minutes to post, you know, he's home now recovering, so he wasn't there. But they put up the Eddie Olczyk pick, and he gave, of course, Gunrunner on top and the cold exacta Gunrunner with the West Coast. The interesting thing is he had a big ticket on the exacta with Gunavera, a trifecta with Gunavera third, and that's what propelled him to the lead. Though he did say he pulled back some of the bet and ended up betting some money on West Coast to win as a saver. But that, he's lucky, it could have cost him, you know, winning and losing, and he realized that when the race ended. But, of course, it worked out for him. And he walked away with about his $12,000 bankroll. I think he walked away with about $65,000 in the bankroll. It was $135,000 cash prize pool, and he gets a seat in the BCBC and the NHC in 2019. If he wins one of those two tournaments, he'll get $1 million bonus.
Just one of those two.
Just one of them. That,
right.
That's how it works. You win the Pegasus, and then you win either the Breeders' Cup in 2018 or the NHC in 2019, and you get this $1 million bonus.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah,
so
okay.
He's going to be he'll be playing in both of those.
Wow, good for him. Just a great story. We're going to talk to Eddie Olczyk coming up in just about 9 minutes from right now at 9:40 Eastern time. Mike, the other thing that I wanted to touch on with you, and I just read the Blood Horse News update about some of the potential expansion plans here at Gulfstream Park, and one of the things that's been talked about for a long time is expanding the grandstand and some of the seating capacity here at Gulfstream Park. Sounds like that might be the new development plans.
Yeah, it needs to be done. When I started here about 8 years ago, it seemed like the place was just the right size for the type of crowds that they were attracting, but we've gone way past that now. So that's something that really does need to be done. The grandstand is on the smaller side. It holds less than 1,000 people. So even our restaurant, Ten Palms, on a big day will hold more than our grandstand holds. So that needs to be, has been discussed. And now that the company has realized this big event here, and, of course, Florida Derby Day, we have even a bigger crowd. So, you know, those things need to be addressed. This is, you know, an evolving property. A lot of things are going on. They're talking about putting a hotel on here and doing some other things. So I'm excited about it. It's all part of the success of this place, and it's great to see that the corporation is really behind it.
You know, I think back, we talked about this multiple times on this show, Mike, but I think back to when Frank announced that he was going to tear down the original Gulfstream and build the mall shopping areas, the restaurant areas that are next to what Gulfstream is today. And when he started to do it and I looked around, I can remember even myself saying, this is never going to work. You don't even know that there's a racetrack back there. But now to see the way this whole vision has come together, and Jude, I know he's made a believer out of you. This Frank Stronach vision here at Gulfstream Park has worked, and it is pretty spectacular.
He's a real visionary. You know, this, if you think about in this country today and you really look at people, it's a real special group. I mean, you just don't put a tag on that on anybody. And to me, the greatest visionaries are people like him that come up with ideas that people right away are going to criticize. They think it's so crazy. But he's really got the foresight to look down the road and say, hey, what's going to work. I mean, one of the first things I heard him mentioning, which I think anybody, it just in common sense, it tells you in a business or anything else, how do you run a business with a property that only operates 3 or 4 months a year?
Yeah.
What are you doing the other 8 months? First of all, just staffing a place for 4 months a year is tough when, you know, it's not a full-time job for somebody year-round. So this has really provided so many things on so many levels for racing. You know, the village has become very successful here. We have some great things going on out there, and as you mentioned, and it takes sometimes for people to get used to these things, but it was the right move. It's brought the right crowds. We have, you know, a lot more families that come here, and that's something that our facility can offer that other gaming facilities down here can't, because you have to be, to go to those places, you have to be 21 and over. Here you can enjoy horse racing and you can bring the kids. And
good point.
We do the breakfast. And as I'm sure you've noticed, so many families here now that come for racing, we've just really gone after in this market. I've just really put a shoulder to shoulder with Major League Sports. I know sometimes that's hard to believe, but if you live down here and see the marketing and what we do here, we're right there. And I think the fact that we offer the free, you know, the free parking and free admission on all the days, I get it, on Pegasus we charge, but all the other days everything is free here to, you know, to come and enjoy a great day. And everybody knows going to a sporting event today how expensive that is. And this racing is a sport. I mean, that's the bottom line of it. And, you know, where people always try to say, well, there's gambling involved, whatever. Well, there's gambling in all sports today. We all know that. And the way things are headed anyway, it looks like sports betting is not too far behind becoming legal in this country. So it's just all much more mainstream than it was, you know, 15, 20 years ago where, you know, you're in the closet if you admitted you went to the track or whatever. It's just not like that today. It's in this market especially, it's just become very, very mainstream.
I lost a girlfriend over it.
You did?
Yeah. Her mom wouldn't let her go to the prom with me because she found out I was a racetrack guy. So, you know, I mean.
Yeah, that was it. That was the reason why.
Well, I think I'm pretty sure that was the reason why. She didn't like the fact that she found out that I took her daughter to the track one day and she went ballistic. I really like that girl. But in any case, you know, I think the family thing is so important here. And it's so noticeable when you come to the races in the late afternoon, that you know, and then the people stay around, eat at a restaurant. The kids are, there's activities for them, pony rides and stuff. And Christmas time was great here. It was a big event. A lot of people were here shopping and enjoying the facilities.
Cool.
And anytime you come here, there's a lot of people around day and night, and there are a lot of families. And I think it's so great that the kids are getting exposed to the horses, which most kids love to see horses and the racing and the sport. And it's really not so much for today, but down the road, these people are going to come back when they're, you know, 18 and bring their girlfriends or boyfriends and say, you know, this is Gulfstream's a great place to go. We got to go out there and have a good time. It's fun. And you're right. My dad always used to say, if you go to a baseball game, you buy the tickets, you buy food and all that stuff, you have no chance of getting your money back. But when you go to the track, you can have the same kind of fun. If you enjoy the sport, you can have the same kind of fun, pay for your day, or maybe even make some money.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. It's horse racing, you know, for me, it's the greatest. And, you know, like I tell a lot of people, they forget, you know, it's paramutual wagering. It's you against everybody else. It's not you against the house like when you go to Vegas or you go to a casino. And to me, that's what makes it so great. I mean, there's a lot of skill to handicapping and picking the winner. Yeah, there's some luck in everything, but if you really look at it and you study it over time, you know, you can feel really comfortable what you do. I mean, for me, that's all I play is horse racing. I won't play lotteries. I don't play in casinos. That's just not for me. I enjoy the challenge of being able to read through a program, looking at charts, and coming up with a selection so that when I lay my money down, I feel good about it. Not that it's, you know, pulling a lever and just hope for the best.
Right.
So that's just, you know, who I am, and that's why I love marketing racing, because I think that really provides that. And bringing the young people, you know, getting this on their radar early, that was one of the things that, you know, I told the company, we need to do that, because if they see it when it's early in their life and it's on their radar, it'll come back at some point, whenever that is. It won't be something strange or something that they never did before. So to me, that's what the key is, and I think that's where professional sports kind of is losing out today, and that's why their ratings are dropping, because families just can't afford to go. It's all companies buying the tickets. We know that. And when they're giving you all the deals, where are they putting you up in the upper deck anyway? They're forcing people to watch on a phone, or on TV. I don't see that's a way how you ingratiate people. Yes, after they're already, you know, have been exposed to it live, yeah, then these things, these tools are great. But not as a replacement or a way to get, you know, accustomed. And I'm very confident in that. I really feel that where that's where sports have made a big mistake in the last few years more than anything else. And they're not getting the younger people. I'm talking kids under 10, you know, and that type of families that come out, like, for the breakfast. And that's what we're going after. And it seems to be resonating and working. And over time, I think people, this industry is going to see the positive effects that these things are doing.
Yeah, whatever you're doing, Mike, it's working. And it's working really, really well at a very high level. Keep it rolling, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. By the way, I'm throwing in 2 tickets on this trip.
Yeah.
The Friday night Florida Derby party, which is the night before the Florida Derby. So
just
you'll be part of the private walk.
Now it's gone to a 3-day trip.
I was just talking
earlier about the things you're going to do on Sunday for the people that win. So
yeah.
Now they have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, not just Saturday and Sunday.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. So you come in Friday, and if you make it in early, come out for the races. Friday night you'll be part of the party. Saturday, Florida Derby day. Sunday, come back for brunch and head on back home.
Yeah, yep. If you don't know what Mike's talking about, we talked about it earlier. It's the Road to the Florida Derby Challenge. You still have time to play. It ends with the Fountain of Youth Stakes on March 3rd. So you have about 4 or 5 more weeks to make your selections. Head over to our website now, horseracingradio.net, and get all the information and get your entries in, because it just got a heck of a lot better from our good friend Mike Nyman. Mike, we appreciate it, bud.
Thanks, guys. All right, great seeing you again.
Good to see you. All right, we're going to get to a quick break. We'll come back. Eddie Olchek is on the other side of this. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
International super sire Warfront has added even more graded stakes winners to his record. Ranked the world's number one sire by two-year-old stakes winners in 2016, he picked up his 15th lifetime Grade 1 victor when American Patriot scored in this year's Midlands 46 Mile. Other recent stakes winners include Grade 1 victor Brave Allen, War Decree, Roly Poly, Intelligence Cross, Journey Home, and Cambodia. Warfront at Clayton Farm.
The Road to the Kentucky Derby winds through Gulfstream Park this afternoon with 5 graded stakes, including the Grade 2 Holy Bull, Grade 2 Swale, and Grade 3 Dania Beach for the 3-year-old boys, and the Grade 2 Forward Gale and Grade 3 Swedish Chant for 3-year-old fillies. Come out early and enjoy breakfast at Gulfstream from 8 to 10:30 every Saturday during the championship meet. And be sure to reserve your seats now for the $1 million ExpressBet.com Florida Derby on March 31st. For more information, visit GulfstreamPark.com.
Hi, I'm Kayla Stratt, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Okay. And welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. Mike Penna, Jude Feld. We are live from Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida, getting set for that major derby prep, the Grade 2 Holy Bull Stakes. Our coverage this afternoon starts at 4:30 Eastern. You can visit our website, horseracingradio.net, for a listing of affiliates and to listen worldwide with our free live streaming. It's all there for you, horseracingradio.net. JT, we were just talking with Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing, and you asked him or brought up the point that Eddie Olchek, longtime NHL star, now broadcaster with the NHL and NBC Sports, participated in the Pegasus World Cup Betting Challenge, and he did more than participate last week. he took down the top prize, my friend.
Yeah, that's
pretty cool.
Totally awesome. I mean, Eddie's a fantastic guy, one of the nicest men you'll ever meet, and he loves horse racing, which really has to endear him to those of us who love the game. So it was great to see him fire away and get the money in the biggest tournament all year, except for the NHC, probably.
And I think my favorite headline, and by the way, Eddie Olchek joining us right now on the Equine Forum. Eddie, I think my favorite headline came from Pete Fornatale in the Daily Racing Forum when he said, with the clock ticking down, Olchek puts the biscuit in the basket. I thought that was very appropriate, my friend.
Mike Jude, nice to be with you. Thank you very much for the nice comments. That takes me back some 17 years ago. Hard to believe. I've been retired longer than I played in the National Hockey League. Played 16 years in the National Hockey League from 1984 to 2000, and now I've been retired longer than I played in the league. So kind of showing my wear and tear and my age. Sometimes I think I'm a 15 claimer out at Hawthorne, you know, just kind of grinding it away. But it's... it was obviously it was a great thrill and a lot of people reaching out and Pete did I thought he did a tremendous job with the piece, not only in the forum but online as well. It kind of took me back to back in the day, having a puck on my stick with the game on the line and somehow finding a way to go posting in. And yeah, I was down a few goals going into that final 5 minutes, so to speak, and was lucky enough to pull out a rabbit out of the hat, and it was a great thrill, and looking forward to hopefully bigger and better things moving forward.
Yeah, with the Super Bowl coming up tomorrow, we could call that one heck of a Hail Mary pass that you were able to throw last week, Eddie. Tell us how you did it. You were down to basically the minimum requirement of $3,000, well behind the leaders going into the Pegasus. Yeah. How were you able to pull it out?
Yeah, well, you know, it was one of those weekends where, you know, I guess my goal going in was, you know, I guess I had a kind of had a plan going in, and it was that my best play of the weekend, unfortunately, wasn't until the last race of the tournament, and that happened to be the Pegasus. Like, I saw that race as an ice cold 10-2 without any hesitation. I was hoping to build up my bankroll to 15 to 20,000. That was kind of my plan, and then going into the last race would have been, regardless of, you know, maybe if I had 80% or whatever the bankroll might have been, was to go a heavy, you know, go probably 40%, 50% on the exacta, and then how do you turn in an 8-to-1 exacta on a dollar? I mean, actually, was paying 8.50, but. You know, how do you turn an 8-to-1 shot in exacta into a 50-to-1, a 60-to-1, a 70-to-1? And you don't know what the try is going to end up paying, but you know, you see where the leaders are. And like you said, I gave some money back, and I got down to, I think, about $3,700 or $3,800 left. And I had to, you know, I had met the requirements for the tournament, for the races, the allotment that we had to play. And you know, I said, okay, you know, how do I, you know, I looked at it from the aspect of, I'm trying to win a tournament. Now, the leaders were in the low 60s, I believe, at that particular time going into the last race, 60,000 each. So I was thinking, okay, how do I turn that 8-to-1 into 50-to-1, 60-to-1, 70-to-1? And there were two horses that I really liked on the bottom, and that was Gunavera and Seeking the Soul. So I thought, okay, do I just worry about making, you know, the ice cold exacta and pulling down 25 or 28,000, or do I take a shot and hope that, you know, a miracle happens? And, you know, I go back to 2 years ago, guys. I played in the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge. That was the Arrogate California Chrome Breeders' Cup, just to give everybody a kind of a refresher. And I was sitting, I think, somewhere mid-25s, 30s going into the last race. And, you know, I had plenty of bankroll. I think I was somewhere in high 18s or 19,000. And my play there was, you know, Arrogate over California Chrome all day. And I think my inexperience showed that day, because what I wanted to do is play a, you know, how do you turn a 20, you know, a 12-to-1 exacta into 60 or 70-to-1? And the play was, is you play a, you know, you play a large tri wheel. You go Arrogate over California Chrome with all. And I had plenty of bank. I mean, I wanted to play a $1,000 tri wheel, and I bailed. I only played like a $200 or $300 one, and Keen Ice ended up sucking up for third in the try, which I still can't believe paid $77 for a dollar that year. And
you know, I play the, you know, if I play the what I wanted to play, I win the tournament. And I kind of thought that this past weekend where I said, okay, like, how do I do that? So what I did was I found those two bottom horses, Gunnavera and Seeking the Soul, and said, okay, I'm going to turn that 8-1 into hopefully, you know, 75 or 80-1, whatever it's going to be. So I ended up playing a bunch of tickets. I had actually had a $700 try with Seeking the Soul, finished third, and I had an $1,160 trifecta with Gunnavera finishing third. And I had no idea what it was going to pay. And once I saw it came up $55, I quickly did the math in my head and said, okay, well, that's, you know, that's just shy of $64,000. I had a, you know, I had a decent size exacta, but I didn't know what the guys at the top were going to do. And I kept hitting refresh on my computer because I was playing from home. I kept hitting refresh, refresh, refresh. And sure enough, I saw my name on top of the board, and somehow I got super lucky. So that's what I kind of my philosophy was. My best play of the tournament was the last race. Unfortunately, I didn't have a lot of bank. Like, I really believe, and I know that, you know, if I were to be able to reach the goal that I wanted to, there's no doubt in my mind that I would have had that try probably another couple of times, because I felt so strongly that Gunnavera, Seeking the Soul, would end up sucking up. So I got lucky because the guys at the top weren't able to, you know, to pad their bankroll, and somehow, some way, I was able to surpass them in the last couple of seconds of the game.
Well, you didn't get that lucky. You were pretty cerebral about what you did, and your experience really helped you there. But,
no
but I got to ask
no
you,
yeah.
Where does it rank in your overall sporting career? I mean, that's just a magnificent – you know, you've done some great things, things people would only dream about doing. But where does this fit in that picture?
Yeah, you know – I mean, look, I was lucky enough to fulfill a dream of playing in a National Hockey League, something I always wanted to do as a kid. I was lucky enough to play in the Olympics for Team USA back in 1984 as a 17-year-old. Won a Stanley Cup. I was a very small member of the 1994 New York Rangers team that finally broke the long drought of 54 years for the Rangers and winning a cup there. I think individually, this is certainly one of the highlights because it was it was the first tournament, but a prestigious tournament with a lot of great handicappers. And look, as you guys know, sometimes the stars are aligned and sometimes you got to step up and you get lucky. And look, there's no doubt that luck has a lot to do with it. But again, I had a plan and was able to, go on with it and go through with it and step up to the table and find a way. But, as far as, you know, the horse racing aspect of it, I was lucky enough to hit a pick six, I think 7 or 8 years ago now at Old Hollywood Park, one of my favorite tracks of all time. That on a Friday night card, they had a $1.5 million carryover once everything was gone through, and somehow, some way, I singled a Neil French horse right in the middle of the leg that paid $36, and for a $168 investment, I got back $500,000. So, two of the biggest scores I've ever had. Obviously, in the game of horse racing, and as I tell people, every squirrel finds a nut every once in a while, and now I'm finally even after all of these years.
Great story.
But certainly a highlight. Certainly a highlight in my career, no doubt.
You might be able to pull ahead lifetime if you can take down either the BCBC or the NHC now, because you're qualified for both. If you win either of those, you're eligible for that $1 million bonus. That might put you in the black again.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for anyways. And I'd like to thank Gulfstream Park and the people at ExpressBet as well. Been great friends of my family, and the Stronics have been great supporters, and known Mr. Stronic for a long, long time, and Belinda as well. And once I won the tournament, you're thinking about so many things. The phone is ringing, I'm getting texts and emails, and you know, everything's blowing up. And then, somebody had just kind of let me know, later in the night, said, you're eligible for the bonus. And I said, what bonus? And they said, well, the NHC or the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge, if you take one of those down, you got a $1 million bonus coming. I'm like, holy moly. So, it's been just on a personal note, guys. This last 6-7 months in my life has kind of been turned upside down. Back in early August, I was diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer, and kind of anybody that's been touched by that horrible disease certainly knows what I'm talking about. And you know, it's been a battle for you know, for my family and my friends and you know, myself. And I'm only 18 days away from being unhooked for the last time. I finished 10 chemo treatments. I got two more to go, and it's been a battle. And I pray for anybody out there that is going through this, and I would encourage them to continue to believe and set goals for themselves, because that was something that I had a tough time dealing with really early in the early stages of, you know, realizing that I was sick and I had to get help. And, you know, you look at the calendar and you know, you start thinking about a lot of things. And, you know, no disrespect to my job as far as hockey or horse racing or handicapping. The distraction has been tremendous to be able to get out and work a few hockey games for NBC or locally here in Chicago, and then, you know, play the horses daily, or, you know, play in these tournaments. And I would like to thank everybody out there that has sent well wishes and prayers, and because I know I couldn't do this by myself. It's been a battle, and I'm looking forward to putting this in a rearview mirror and getting back to what I love to do each and every day. That's be around hockey and horse racing people, because there's a lot of familiarity and similarities between the two games. I think we both fight the same battle on a daily basis, both hockey and horse racing. And so, you know, I've had a lot of medicine here the last 6 months, guys, but I could arguably say that Saturday's medicine, after winning the Pegasus handicapping tournament, is the best medicine I've had in a long, long time. There's no doubt about that.
He's Eddie Olczyk, ladies and gentlemen. Eddie, appreciate the time and glad you're feeling better. We'll continue to keep you in our thoughts and prayers. Keep fighting, and we'll look forward to seeing you up the road here soon. Congratulations on that win in the Pegasus.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me. Keep up the great work. See you down the road. Thank you.
All right, we're Eddie Olczyk. Boy, what a great story, and congratulations on that win in the Pegasus World Cup Betting Challenge. We'll get to one final break. We're back to wrap it up. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Castleton Lions, home to multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and blue-blooded sprinter Justin Phillip, who was recently represented by his first stakes winner at Belmont Park.
Down to the line, what a catch takes the Rockville Center over Morning Breeze.
That game stakes victory by What a Catch comes on the heels of Justin Phillips' daughter, Upset Brewing, putting in a strong runner-up finish in the $100,000 debutante at Churchill Downs. And while Justin Phillip continues his fast start, seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance.
And Sir Dudley Diggs from Amis Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won.
Gio Ponti and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich is Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir. Hello, boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Power. Caracondi, the favorite in front. The Spaniard, News Arcanarios, is fighting back. Caracondi has won.
Passion.
Prestige Vendome is making him fight all the way towards the line. It's Caracondi winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Caracondi with a rush on the outside goes Adam. Late run from Adam Dahl. Caracondi, Adam Dahl. Caracondi.
Gainsway Stallion Caracondi, the regally bred Breeders' Cup Mile winner, recorded three Grade 1 victories on his way to earning more than $1.9 million. A precocious juvenile, Caracondi recorded a Grade 1 win at 2 before taking the prestigious French 2000 Guineas at 3, followed by an electrifying stretch run in the Breeders' Cup Mile to defeat older horses with a final time of 1:32 and 4 fifths. Caracondi's first weanling sold for up to $250,000 with an average of more than $68,000. Caracondi, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Hi, this is Larry Colmus, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Our thanks to all of our special guests for being with us here this morning, trainers Kieran McLaughlin and Dale Romans in the first half of the show, Jim Lawson, CEO of Woodbine Entertainment, Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing here at Gulfstream, and Eddie Olchek just a short time ago. Been a busy couple of hours. If you missed any portion, head to our website, horseracingradio.net. Check out the podcast of this program and all of our programming, horseracingradio.net. And don't forget to enter our Road to the Florida Derby Challenge. It's on today's Holy Bull Stakes, which comes your way 4:30 Eastern Time here on the network, and should be a good one, JT.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It seems like the sun's trying to peek through.
Mike Nyman might be right. He told you that the clouds were going to dissipate. We're going to have a fast track and maybe even a firm turf course later today here at Gulfstream Park. The rain not falling here in South Florida at the moment. Poll question results, well, most people saying it doesn't matter if a horse wins a prep race over a wet track. That's the winner right now, 40% of the vote coming in for that. Our thanks to our producer, Lee Delapina, and our Jimmy Johns of Lexington Broadcast Studios, my beautiful wife, Michelle, on site, and Chauncey, Sean C., with all of our social media. We're back 4:30 Eastern here on the network. Ah, they still got days. I can't do it.
Good night, Barbados.